It's a different world, I promise you. But he tells us, see, so often what the church wants to do is the church wants to insulate itself from the world. And he tells us, he says, I've called you to be the light of the world. And so don't think that my whole mantra in life is, man, I want to go in and I want to release heaven into a dark place. And he has chosen, everybody talks about how bad the world is and how it's getting terrible and I'm fearful for my children and all of that. We've got a wrong mindset concerning that. That God has chosen you. I'm not saying that the times aren't bad and I'm not saying that liberalism isn't overrunning our country and all of that stuff. But God has chosen you. God has chosen your children. God has chosen your children to live in a time such as this. Because he believes, Tyler, he believes in you. And your ability to change culture. He could have brought. I always ask God. I'm like, God, why'd you plant me in Harrison County? Because I don't have a Harrison County mindset. You know, my mindset is more Montana mindset. And you planted me in Harrison County, and he said, I chose you to release light into a culture. And so I'm like, all right, I'm cool with that. When we were in New Zealand with Aaliyah and them, and it really felt like what I feel like the 50s would have felt like, because we were in Auckland and we saw small children and they were just walking to school, and there'd be 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, and they're just walking down the street, a group of 10 of them, no adults. They're just walking to school, no fear, everything just felt awesome and all of that stuff. And I said, I bet that's what America was like in the 50s. And so I'm like, God, why didn't you let us be born in that time when maybe it was a little bit simpler and a little less corrupt and all of that stuff? And he said, because I've chose you for such a time as this. And I've planted you in a society, and I've planted you in a culture, and I've planted you in a place because I believe in your ability. I believe in my ability through you to change and shape that culture. And so we've got to know this and believe this about ourselves. I don't have fear for my grandchildren. I don't have fear for my grandchildren. I don't have fear that, oh my God, what's it going to be like when they're 30? Because my God's still on the throne when they're going to be 30. He's still going to be on the throne. And I believe that things are going to go from glory to glory, and I think that things, that the light, the darkness may get darker, but I believe that the light's going to get brighter. And the brightness of the light is what determines the atmosphere, not the amount of darkness. Because darkness cannot stay in the presence of light. And I believe, I love what God's doing right now. I love what he's doing in the kids. I love what he's doing in men and women, in this house and in the church community right now. This morning I'm really excited because Senor Marty's going to be I call him Senor Marty. We got Martyisms that we talk about. We say all the time. You know, we'll be at a dang bike rally and we'll say almost nearly there or something like that. And everybody knows it's a Martyism. And we got about 6 of those that my whole family kind of, even the grandkids are catching on to it, and the grandkids are throwing out Martyism. So it's pretty cool. But we're real excited to have Marty Smith and Krista just being with us lately, man. It's just, we just love you guys and we honor y'all, and it's so thankful that we've only been hooked up for about a year now. But it's like God's knitted stuff together. You know, he doesn't get constrained with time like we do. He can, and suddenly doesn't just happen. Bill Johnson always says that. But sometimes it looks like suddenly to us, but God's been brewing it for years and years and years and years. And you know, it's kind of like a meal. If you've got a very varied meal and all of these different components, the thing is to bring everything together just at the right moment. That's the biggest challenge on a cook, is bringing everything together at the right moment. And I really feel like God's just bringing some stuff together, and I'm really excited about it. As I was kind of meditating yesterday and this morning on today and Marty bringing the word and all of that stuff, the Lord carried me to Matthew. I come from a generation that I was raised Southern Baptist and you grew up in church and the everything about that. And when God got stirring in your life, that must mean God called you to preach. I mean, it did. You see somebody get on fire for the Lord and everybody start coming in and say, son, I see God's calling on your life. He's probably calling you to preach. You know, and that was the thing. If you got saved and redeemed, you know, everybody's like, he's going to be called to preach. The truth is there's a big difference in our calling and our assignment. And in Matthew, Jesus came to the disciples and it said that he gave them he gave them authority. And one time he did it with 12, one time he did it with 70, an expanded group. And he came to them and he said, go and preach the gospel, which is the kingdom of heaven now. That's the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of heaven is here. Not one day when I die, but the kingdom of heaven is here. Then look around you, the kingdom of heaven is here, church. That's my drum, I'll keep beating it. Look around you, the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. And there will be eternity in heaven, but there's heaven on earth right now as we speak. And it's in us and it's all around us. But he said, go and preach the gospel. He said, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And you know what that was? That was their calling. And you know what? I can confidently say for every person in here that has been saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is redeemed, you know what your calling is today? To preach the gospel, cleanse the lepers, that's sozo, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, that's your calling. That's your calling. Every single one of us, that's my grandchildren's calling, that's Zealand's calling, he's six, that's his calling. That's Judah's calling. Sometimes preaching the gospel looks like I'm running a business. Sometimes it looks like we're loading some cows after church. Hopefully, me and Randy and Nick are. Hopefully, it works out for us. But you know what? That's supposed to look like the kingdom of heaven. That's supposed to look like the gospel. Because we're redeeming the land and we're producing something. And you're just helping out a brother. That's the kingdom of heaven. So you know what we're doing is we're declaring the gospel. And I want you to understand that every one of us has this calling. And what I love about guys like, and I see it in Marty, I see it in James Siegel, I see it in Nick White, these young men that God's just stirring in. You like it? I called you a young man. That God's stirring in and all this stuff. You know what? They're not compartmentalizing and saying, I've been called to preach, brother. They simply say, I've got a calling on my life, and it's the same calling the disciples had, and it's the same calling that Lori's got, and it's the same calling that Casey Hardy's got, and Errol's got, and everybody else has got in here. And he says, now here's your assignment. And your assignment's usually what's in front of you. It's usually what, that's why I've never tried to paint you in a corner, James, and put you in a box and say, well, brother, we need to announce your calling, and we can do all of this stuff and all of that. The Lord already announced your calling. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. That's your calling. Your assignment is, hey brother, can you teach on Wednesday night? Absolutely. Y'all were amazingly gifted family and in the musical, so can you lead worship? Yes. That's my assignment. That's what's in front of me. That's my assignment. The success of a football team is what? Each individual is just simply doing his assignment. Doing what's the tackle. You know what your job is? To be a tackle. If it's blocking on a run player, if it's protecting the quarterback's, you know, blind side, then that's your assignment. And so I love the fact that these men are stepping up and they're saying, this is my assignment. And my assignment is, a big part of their life is Honduras. That's the assignment God's placed on them. And they are about as genuine a people as I've ever been around. They're about as genuine a people as I've ever been around. And I see it in their heart here, but I really see it in their heart there. Just the way that they love on people and the way they want to minister to people and the way they care for people. And so, I'm just excited to know them and be connected with them and hopefully God will deepen our covenant with them and excited that, Marty's here this morning and he's going to bring the word. So that's about as good an introduction as I can do without doing a, fundraising love offering. But I will say this as Marty's coming up. We totally believe in what God's doing through these guys down in Honduras. And if you are looking for something to pour your offerings into, if you're looking for something to pour your offerings to, I have a lot of people say, man, I would like to do good with money. I just don't know where I can trust to put it. I promise you, you can trust to put it in this ministry. And so if you are looking for somewhere that, you want to connect with and you want to do something that makes a difference, then get hooked up with these guys and start using your offerings and start giving to these guys. The churches, we've just to let you guys know as a information thing, the churches, we picked them up and started supporting them as a church also. We've got multiple ministries we support. About 25% of y'all's tithes and offerings go directly to ministries outside this house. And we've just picked up Project World, and they're one of the ministries that we're going to be supporting on a monthly basis. But I encourage y'all as individuals to just really, you know, pray about it and step up. And there are great ministries all over the world, but this one's around you. This one's near to you. So I just want to plug for that. Marty didn't tell me to plug for finances or anything, but I want to plug for that. So I just want to encourage you guys. But I'm going to let Brother Marty have it, and you just run with it, brother. God bless you.
Hey, and good morning. I'm going to ask the guys, if y'all don't mind, will y'all come back up? God's a mess. I don't know what he's got in mind, but these jokers just kind of sang everything I was going to say today. And if we could... just kind of assume positions. I'm all into this intimacy. I like words, you know, making space. I think it was, I don't know how many weeks ago. And we're going to kind of talk about that. And Aaliyah released something about maybe a month ago that we want to talk about. So I would love it. Wherever you were during worship, just go right back to that place. And if you want to have a seat, if you guys want to have a seat, I don't know when we're going to start. Y'all just kind of hang out up here. Y'all do whatever you want to do. You were right here. I know where you were. Y'all can turn those lights down. He's the, I don't know what this is called that y'all do every morning before y'all come out and lead worship. And so, yeah, and I like that you don't know what it's called. But anyway, it's, Sid was saying just the simplicity of the gospel. And I'm a big kiss it person. Just keep it simple, stupid, because that's just the way I roll. It's better for me that way if I just keep it simple. And just the whole conversation of and I feel like God is bringing us back to that I so enjoy about the heartbeat of this place is just keeping it real and coming back to the simplicity of the gospel, because that's what's going to change us. The programs are good, and the schemes and the smoke and the mirrors, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But in a time of trial, and in a time of just life, we need an authentic encounter with the Most High God. That is the only thing that will see us through just life. And hereafter, right? So that's what this is about today, is coming back to a place of real encounter. And I don't know what today's going to be like. I'm kind of excited, but nervous, maybe. Because it's kind of jacked up where I was really going to go. But Aaliyah, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I don't remember exactly all of it. But I remember you being up on the stage and saying, there's nothing wrong with a podcast, reading the books, that's where you were at. You were reading the books, but God had said, it's the Word. I just remember the Word, written Word, Scripture. Go to that. Encounter me there. There's nothing wrong with going to all the stuff, and we all do, and we all need to. I mean, nothing wrong. But it was back to something, back to an encounter. Paul had the Damascus Road encounter, and we all know the story about encountering the Lord on the road to Damascus. Well, the Scripture goes on to say, when he was just, revelation was just come pouring into him, and I don't know how many years later this was, but he went back to Damascus. Before he went to the apostles, he went back to Damascus. He went back to that place of encounter. Right? So it was going back to the Word. I don't remember how many weeks ago Sid was saying, I don't remember exactly if it was a revelation or something of an outpouring of love. Something about just love, his love pouring out on us. His love pouring out on us. Something about going back to that place of just love. Scripture says in 1 John 3:16. I think it's 3:16. Let me see that. Get on my. He called me a young man. I'm not a young man. But I'm going back to there. I'm being renewed daily. I'm being renewed daily. Yeah, but and I'm going to read probably some out of the Passion. We're going to some out of the ESV, if that's all right. 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we discover love's reality. And this is out of the Passion. This is how we discover love's reality. This is how you discover the reality of love, of what love is. This is how you discover it. Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Plain and simple. Nothing spectacular. No great revelation. No new anything. This is how you discover the reality of God's love for you. Jesus sacrificed his love for us. And because of this great love, we should be willing to lay down our lives for anyone else. But what I want you to notice is this. The first song they sang, and this is kind of what we're going to sing in a little while, if it wasn't but for the cross. Just like Paul went back to Damascus, to the place of encounter, the only way you're going to be able to discover the reality of how much God loves you is by going back to the cross. Because that's the example. Seeing his sacrifice. Seeing, hey, can... And this is just all last minute. It is so cool how God orchestrates stuff. This is so stupid, crazy. And I'm sorry if that doesn't offend anybody, but I say the word stupid, crazy sometimes just because I don't have the vocabulary to wrap it all in. It's just, it blows my mind how God orchestrates stuff. Can you play that video? And can you guys, with no sound, I don't know if there's even any sound on that video, but no sound, and y'all sing that song. And everyone's going to assume position, but this is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about going back to the cross. If it wasn't for this cross, we would never be able to discover the love of God. The way we discover, and the ESV says, this is how we know love. There's no way that you can understand the depths of God's love for you without seeing this. In life, we experience hard things, good things. One thing that we say, hey, can you just stop for pause 1 second? In Honduras, we have another saying. You'll see, maybe you might get some more martyrisms before the day's over with. Maybe not, but you could. Somebody say something? What? Maybe I'm hearing things. It could be. Hey, well, I just heard the audible voice of God. I'm going to receive it. I receive it. If you go on a trip with us to Honduras, I'll probably say this. If you'll give us your heart and engage in culture and engage in this trip, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you experience the smell of the dump, you've heard Sid and Lori talk about it. Last time he was there, the lady that we'd met on the trip prior to that, all dirty and nasty, coming up and hugging on him and him hugging her back. He'll never unsee that. Unless he chooses to. But if you'll give us your heart for a week and engage in what's going on and in culture, you'll never see life different. I mean, you'll never see life the same. Because it shifts. It has for me, and it does for most people, if you'll engage. The world becomes a great bigger place when you go somewhere else. I was born and raised in Ramon, Alabama, never went pretty much anywhere out of that. Thought everyone lived kind of like how I lived, middle class, just doing life, right? Never knew the world was a big place. But it shifted my thinking from how God is using me here till He's called us unto the world. And God is concerned about the world, not just how I'm growing in my relationship with Him. He is concerned with that. But it's a great big world, and He come to redeem the world, not just me. But you have to engage to be able to experience that and to actually see it. We're shaped by all kind of experiences, but they mark us. And when you encounter God, it marks you. But you've got to experience it. You've got to allow yourself to go there. With all the pain and tragedy in life, just like with all the pain and tragedy in life, they mark us, and those experiences shape us. We have to allow ourselves to experience that for it to shape us. Lori mentioned, I think it's been about a week ago, that was an anniversary of a friend of ours, David Logue's son, one of his boys that lived with him. And I'm sorry to be talking about Honduras, but there you go, that's what we're talking about. His name is Antonio. It's a year anniversary of him being murdered by the gangs. So it was about a year ago, I'm sitting at my dining room table with Krista and our oldest daughter. And we're talking about Antonio's death and how he died. And Hannah said this thing that kind of stood out in my mind. She said, "Daddy, I don't want to think about it." And I said, "Hannah, you need to think about it. You've got to experience the pain that you go through for it to mark you, to make the difference that God has intended it to be marked." I mean, there's no way that Romans 8:28 exists unless you feel the pain of the tragedy. My dad committed suicide many, many years ago, but it marked me. But you've got to feel the pain to experience all that there is to experience in life and for it to mark us. You've got to allow yourself to go to that pain. Scripture says, not Marty, Scripture says the only way that we can to know the love that God has for you is to go to that place right there. That's the only, Passion says, the way we discover love's reality, the way that we know it exists, our measuring tape of love is that. It's brutal to watch. I remember watching it whenever it came out, and I like for my mind to wander on good things. But I never envisioned of it being that drastic. Blew me away. But yet that may not even come close to what it was really like. And it's hard to watch. And it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Lord brought me back to it. Just from Aaliyah going back to the Word, making space, just all these things that are coming out of this house, it was like, I went back and I read it, because it's been years before I read anything about the crucifixion. And He just broke me. It's like, oh, wow. We tend, just like with experiencing hardships and pains, we kind of go over it sometimes and stuff it down and not deal with it. We sing the song. We say the words. And it just kind of goes over our heads. Yeah, you know, it happened. But allow yourself to go there, to experience it. It's the only way that we'll really discover love's reality, the reality of love and the depth of it that He has for us. And I don't know, I just believe that with what you said, I don't remember how many, 3 weeks ago, about just an outpouring of, maybe that's what it was, an outpouring of His love for us. So I don't know what's coming out of here or what's going to happen today. But I believe God is bringing us back to the simplicity. And Sid said it this morning, just the simplicity of the gospel. Because that's what's going to sustain us. That's what people need, and that's what we need, is a real authentic encounter with the holy God. It's the only thing that's going to sustain us. So I already said this 3 or 4 times probably. But will you go ahead, and will you go ahead and assume positions and really engage and experience this?
You bought my freedom. Oh,
Hey, you know the cool thing about that? That is our victory. I was a prisoner. It doesn't end there. We've got to go there. We've got to go there. Without it, we don't experience love. That's what Scripture says. Plain and simple. But we're victorious now because of that. I'm no longer a prisoner. I'm free. I was. But I've got to recognize that that bought my freedom. So go there. But for goodness sakes, don't stay there. We've got to go there. We've got to recognize, and Sid said it earlier too, it's just like everything's just, so I'm just going to duplicate. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to say what they say, and I'm going to say what Bill Johnson says, I'm going to say what Sid says, I'm just going to reduplicate. You were a sinner saved by grace for just a minute. You were. If you're born again, you were a sinner saved by grace for just that long. Now I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm not a prisoner. Now I'm free. He did all that to call us into a way of living that we've got to know. And without knowing, without experiencing it, without ever seeing it, then you just don't know. I didn't know. My story is this, and you can sit down if you want to, or you can strum. Y'all can strum while you sit because it don't go anywhere. Is that okay? Y'all can sit and strum. Because there's something, it was really coming out of your gut this morning too, by the way. And I saw her Friday night, and I said, oh, that's that girl. I don't know her name, but that's that girl. But it was coming out, when it comes out of our gut, it's different. So you've got to feel it. You've got to experience. You've got to go to that place. But my story is, he said Southern Baptist, that's my story. That's where I came from. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor. My mama, I called her. My papa and my mama. My mama was the white handkerchief lady, if anybody remembers white handkerchief ladies. That was her. That was my life. My mother, a pianist in a Southern gospel group. My three brothers, a part of a Southern gospel group. Not me. It was definitely not my story. Ran away from home when I was 16, and I was the not-so-good kid. But my life, I always tried to measure up to what I thought I was supposed to be. So I come at 13 years old and cried my butt out in an altar during revival. Never said a word to God, but I came to the altar and cried my butt off. I just remember this. I had a belt on. It's funny how you remember things. My belt had come out of the buckle, and it was standing out straight and snot running down. And the preacher said, Marty's saved. Marty's saved. And I thought, okay, maybe I am. That was my experience, my first encounter with God, because I was sitting in the back pew, my heart pounding, that something was going on. So the only thing I knew to do is just kind of like, oh, you must be called to preach, the kind of thing. I just ran to the altar because I knew that's kind of what everybody did. So my life was doing pretty much from there on just what I thought I was supposed to do, what everybody else did. You know, you play church. Kind of how I feel like we do now. This is how we do things. We come in, we sing three or four songs. We just do what's always been presented to us. And God has really blown those doors off in me. I have no idea. I hadn't seen. Ear hadn't heard. It hadn't even entered into our heart all that God has planned for those who love Him. So how in the world can I know really all that He has planned? He's going to reveal it to me. But don't try to, Marty, I'm talking to Marty, don't try to put him in a box. That this is the way he's going to move every time. Because it's not. So I came to this place, and then, you know, I just served him. I was afraid of a God that was going to send me to hell. And that's how I came to the Lord. So all my youth, my 16-year-old days, every Sunday morning I was in the altar crying, God save me, God save me, God save me, God save me. So that was my life. Trying to live a life that I thought I was supposed to live. Had no idea. Didn't encounter God in any significant way, but I can remember those things. So, fast forward, you get married and you do life and still trying to do what was right, trying to live without sin and just do what was right. That was my life, a roller coaster. Serving in a Southern Baptist, asked to be a deacon, served in a youth with Scott and Melissa Lively. Well, that was, oh yeah, both Baptist and now. Okay. God, we go way back. So you do the deal, right? So I was trying to live being a deacon, just doing what I thought I was supposed to do, live without sin. And it's the craziest thing. So I remember praying in that church. God, you know I'm going to sin next week, but forgive me. It's like, what was that? It's like, I had good intentions. I mean, I really did. I didn't want to live that life. I just didn't know anything else. It's all I'd ever known. So I came to a God that I was afraid of, out of fear. And then I served Him out of obligation. And it's all about a performance. Performing, putting on the mask that you've always heard, that you've all heard. And that was my life. Nothing real. And then I was introduced to a God that actually loved me. That I was worth redeeming. And really encountered a God that loved me with all of my stuff. You will never live out true righteousness by trying not to sin. It comes from a place of encounter with a holy God that loved you so much that love, you experience it in the depths of it until it starts to change who I am. And I live from a place of understanding that I'm loved. I am a way better son out of a loving relationship with a father than I am out of doing my best to please Him and not sin. I can get to a place now, living without sin, from a place of love than I can just trying to prove myself to Him. I enter it from a place of rest, not trying to strive to attain to get anything. The only thing I have to do, and I think we've kind of talked about that because y'all's just the name of your farmers at Bonnie Farms. All I have to do is abide in the branch, right? I mean, I'm the vine. He is the branch. All I have to do is abide. So my thing now is, it's intimacy. That's my job. I stay in tune with Him. I abide in Him. He abides in me. It's this thing of intimacy, and everything is birthed out of that place. I don't have to strive to do anything. I don't have to get some kind of significant or get a 12-step book of how to figure out how to maneuver so I can get all to God. Ephesians, as Paul says this in Ephesians 3, maybe 18 or 19, we can experience the fullness of God only by experiencing the fullness of His love. It all comes back down to love. I can write you a book. Well, no, I really can't. That's a lie, wasn't it? I didn't mean a lie. Hey, somebody said we ain't heard the F word yet, but we're back in the back. Said, man, it ain't over yet. You might hear it before it's over. I just lied. God, I didn't mean to. Because I can't write a book. Well, maybe I can't. I'm limiting myself, ain't I? God. See, here I am again. I'm just exposing myself to you. But it's a good thing. But experiencing the depths of His love is the only way we get to a place to walk out the fullness of all that He has designed and see it hit it this morning right before I got up here. Whose report are you going to believe? Because now the only... So if we come by the way of this and then we experience Him, right? Experience the depths of His love for us. Just as if we're experiencing the bad, the tragedy parts of life, and we do experience those, the opposite has to be true. So just like we experience the bad, the ugly, the hard, in the depths of that pain, we experience the depths of that pain in a place that it brings us to, so we can experience the love that He has for us. So now that we experience the depth of His love, That's the place that we live from. We don't live there. We're not there anymore. We come by that way, but we're not there now. Right? All right. So this is what I want to say. Encounter His love. Experience His love. And experience the depths of it. So then I kind of told you my story. And if you want to turn to Philippians 1:9, you can. You can go to the Philippians, because this is kind of the, and I'm going to hit maybe on a few passages that really are significant to me. And we'll kind of jump around. But 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says this, that His love controls us. Y'all maybe even know the scripture. Hey, why don't we just go there? Y'all want to read it? We'll just do that instead of Philippians. How about that? 2 Corinthians 5:14. This is Passion says this. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for us. And I just want to stay right there, because it just kind of goes with the whole thing. I mean, you've got to be convinced. It's about experiencing the pain and the depths of His love, but it's also you got to be convinced that He actually did it, right? Scripture says that they even come to God, you've got to believe that He exists, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So if you seek Him, you've got to believe that God even exists, and then once He exists, then you've got to be absolutely convinced that Christ gave His life for you. So once you get to that place of experience and a place of an encounter, and you come to understand that you are absolutely convinced that He died for you and He loves you, with all your mess, with all your junk, He loves you. So, it's the love of Christ that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for us all. This means all died with Him. His death was your death. His resurrection, our resurrection. Now we live. We didn't stay there. This means all died with Him, so that those who live, us, should no longer live life, self-absorbed lives, but live lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us. So anyway, now that's our life. Let's go to the Philippians 1:9, because this is anyway. Go to Philippians 1:9. And this is Paul. He says, "I continue to pray that your love, once you experience the love, right? We got there. We've experienced it. We had a place in the encounter that He loves us so much. And now from this place, this is our life." And this is Paul praying. "I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure. Your love that you recognize because of the cross, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. Not just in some things. But from that place of understanding His love and your love growing to such a place, now you have spiritual insight in all things." Passion, I love, because it goes on down the footnotes. It's, you gain the spiritual insight in all things. But that insight, it means you have the insight and you have foreknowledge, but it also gives you the ability to walk out what insight reveals. So whatever His love reveals to you, you also have the power and the ability to walk out whatever it reveals, because of understanding His love. It all comes back down to love. Outpouring of His love. I'm thinking there's going to be one. "This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and blameless without offense until the revealing of Christ. And you will be filled completely with the fruits of righteousness that are found in Jesus, the Anointed One, bringing great praise and glory to God." Not trying to live without sin. Just simply understanding that a Father in heaven loves you. That's it. It's that simple. Keep it simple, stupid. It's just understanding and actually thinking and meditating on that love. That you don't have to prove anything. It's not... It's the simple fact of Jesus loved you so much that He gave. with all my stuff, with all my trying to please Him, trying to do the right things and trying to get to a place that people would be proud of, just understanding His love for me, it's that simple that just blew me away. So instead of trying to live a life that we think Christians should live, Paul prays for the people in Philippi that your love would grow to a place to its fullest extent. John talks about love being perfected in us. That our love for each other would reach a place of perfection. And that's expression, its fullest extent of what God has for us. It reaches a place to where there's no more, right? His fullest expression of love, that we would get to that place. And from that place, you'd have spiritual insight in all things. You need questions answered? Love. It all comes back down to intimacy. Simple. Intimacy. Me loving Him, Him loving me. Spiritual insight in all things. The fruits of righteousness. Not trying not to sin, because that just allows you to continue to live in sin. There's a place that we can get. And it's by understanding how much He loved us. Second Peter 1:3 says, we've been given all things to life and godliness just by knowing Him. Just by coming into a relationship with God. Now we have everything we need for life and a life of godliness. All by simply knowing Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and I'm going to read this out of ESV. Because I'm kind of, by seeing that, by seeing the price that He paid, by seeing how much He loved us. And now this scripture says, this is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So once we come there, and now understanding how much He loved us and living from that place of not trying to gain His approval, but by just loving Him, we are getting to a place to where we are living without sin. Scripture says, if you sin, you have an advocate, right? I mean, you've all heard that. If you sin. There's a place that you can get to, but it's not by striving to get there. It's just by recognizing how much He loves you. So this same Jesus that did that for me now gives me permission to believe His report. And His report says this: with unveiled face, with nothing hindering you, as you behold the glory of Him, we all, not just some, not just see it, and not just Lori, but we all, with unveiled face, are being transformed into the very God that gave Himself for us. And that should get us excited. It's not a condemnation thing. It's nothing to do with that. It's an invitation into a relationship with Him that we become Jesus in the earth. Believing that report, that His DNA is in me. John says His seed abides in me. There's some intimacy going on, right? His seed abides in you. His DNA is in me. That's what He's invited me into. Not just to live a life of mediocrity. It's a life of, Scripture says, it's in 1 John or John 1. I don't remember if it's in 1 John or in John. It's in John 17. The same way that God sent Jesus into the earth is the same way He sends us into the earth. Right? So God sent Jesus into the earth to redeem it. Now we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, that we've been given a ministry of reconciling the world back to a holy God. You've been given that. Again, not condemning, but inviting you into this life of reconciling the earth. You've been given that. A God, dude, that spoke everything into existence. Think about it. The God that spoke everything into existence now chooses to let you speak for Him. Chose to let you speak for Him. That's the authority that we have. God says, be imitators of Him. You mean this God that spoke everything to existence now is going to let me be His mouthpiece? How stupid is that? Not that God's stupid, but I'm just saying, dude, look at me. Hear me. But yet He chooses. That's how valuable you are. Why do you think God says, God did say, don't think of yourselves more than you ought to. Right? Everybody knows that scripture. Don't think too highly of yourself. So obviously, at some point, we would have an opportunity to think too much of ourselves. So something must be going on in me for me to actually think that. When Peter and John when they went up to the gate called Beautiful, and they get the joker up and says, you know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you, right? He gets up and walks. Peter and John, they go stand in front of the Sanhedrin or whatever it is going on, and there's people saying, John. Peter said, don't look at me like I've done anything, because I hadn't done squat. The God of the Father of the Son that you just crucified is being glorified on this day. So don't think of yourselves more than you ought to. It's not really about you, but it is so about you. Because now you've been given authority to do the same thing. See, it said it earlier. To cast out demons, raise the dead. That's our assignment. That's what we've been invited into. A God that spoke everything into existence now chooses to speak through you. I don't know. That's the kind of stuff it just... We're going to say about three more things and then we're going to be done. If the only way we come to understand love is by going there and experiencing His love and the fullness of it is the way that we're able to live in the fullness of what God has for us is by understanding the fullness of His love. And if I'm being changed into the image of God from one degree of glory to another, or into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another, by simply beholding the glory. That's intently. That's not just a casual glance. It's not something that we can just kind of go over and say, yeah, man, you know, I'm being transformed into His image. Yeah. But it's beholding. It's gazing. It's intently. It's a pursuit. The aim of His affection is you. He's pursuing us. But in our pursuit of Him, intimacy happens. And from that place, I'm being transformed in His very image. So you have the opportunity to be Jesus in the earth. That's what He's invited us into. It's not about staying at the cross. It's about getting to a place to where you're redeeming the earth. So from the degree I understand and I experience His glory will be the expression in which I release into the earth. Right? The degree of my understanding and my experience with Him in the depths of His love will be the Jesus that I release into the earth. So the only way that I can release the fullness of who God is into the earth is by experiencing the fullness of who God is and His love for me. And if I'm not releasing that now, the only way that I can release that is by understanding the depths of His love for me. Not in pursuit, not in trying to do things, but by simply coming to the feet of Christ. And in that place, I'm being transformed into His image. And I'm releasing that image into the earth. And that's His heart's cry. So if your life is not what you thought it would be, and if you're not releasing, and I'm talking to me, the image of what Scripture, if I'm not living out Acts, not again that I have to run to that and try to strive and strain. I'm not it. That's not it. I'm not going to condemn my way to get there. It's not going to happen. I've already lived that life for 20 years. It didn't work so well. Coming back simply. Simple gospel. We complicate it so much. Trying to strain. The aim of His affection is your heart. His pursuit is you. And He allows us to take on His nature and wants us to represent Him into the earth. His desire is to display His love for the earth through you. He chose you. And to experience the fullness of who God is, we must experience the fullness of His love for us. If we're truly shaped by our experiences, then it's up to me to experience His love. He's inviting me. It's just up to me to respond. Can y'all play something? I don't care what you... Anybody got anything you want to say? Dude, I'm all for it. I'm for unorthodox. I'm not into the. I'm not. I'm into
the 20 years that Marty shared in his testimony. He was encountering a judge. The thing that changed his life was when he encountered a father. And when you encounter God as a judge, it always comes back to, what does the law say? Well, I screwed up here and I screwed up there and I'm not doing this right and I'm not doing that right and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. But the thing that changed his life, that flipped the script in his life, was when he encountered God not as a judge, but he encountered God as a father. That changes everything. I have been disappointed with some decisions my daughters have made, but my daughters have never been a disappointment to me. Y'all know the difference. It's huge. I've been disappointed with a decision, but they've never been a disappointment to me. And some of you feel like, through the report of the enemy, that you're this huge disappointment to God. And God said, no, you're not. You're my child. And I have nothing but love for you. And I have nothing but desire for you. So that's what the Lord just kept speaking to me as you were sharing that. He said, He encountered me as Father and not judge. He stopped being judge. He started being Father. And that bursts everything. That bursts everything. So I think maybe today, some of you, that's your life is, I'm going from spot to spot, and God's a judge and He's disappointed in me. And God wants to get you off that track. And He wants today for you to encounter Him as a Father. Maybe some of you for the very first time. And maybe some of you, you just need to get back to that place. Because the enemy has caused you to view Him as judge and stop viewing you as Father. God wants to let you off the hook today. He's Abba. He's Abba. Not your honor. He's Abba. He's Abba. Come to Him as that.
Hey, will y'all just stand? And y'all just continue to sing. And if you want to pray, we're just going to have just a minute of just a response. If you want to respond, that's cool. Where you're at or here, it doesn't matter. But a time of response.